Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard. It's
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
All right, boots on the ground in San Antonio, GM meetings. Yes, I went to the Alamo. It was what it was. All right. But I went to San Antonio, and you have to go when you go to San Antonio to the Alamo. You have to go to the Riverwalk. You have to explore what you can explore. And also what I've been exploring is the GM meetings. Yep. Walking through the halls of the JW Marriott, a huge hotel. I think this is the first time. I know it's the first time the GM meetings have been in San Antonio at this venue. So just a little bit behind the scenes. Usually when you go to a place, GM meetings, winter meetings, a lot of it is playing the angles, trying to gauge how big a place is, trying to figure out where people are going to be. Well, you know, this is a pretty big place, but what you got to do is you have to find the Starbucks. Always find the Starbucks, because no matter if you're a GM, president of baseball operations, whatever you are, assistant GM, you're a human being, and human beings usually find their way to Starbucks. So you find the path to the Starbucks, and you're going to run into somebody. And that's the case, once again, at this GM meetings. All right, so what has happened at the GM meetings? And we were talking a lot with other reporters, other people, other executives about the dynamic of how this whole thing has changed over the years. And, you know, not too long ago, honestly, hardly anybody covered this. They certainly didn't give out credentials. Now, of course, you have to have a credential to get into it. Ton of people. It is a shifting dynamic, which is too bad, because it was one of the great undercovered things in all of baseball. But now it's overcovered. What happens, the most valuable thing that happens, is that you have access to all the chief decision makers, the GMs, president of baseball operations, whoever the team decides to send, into a room for about an hour, and you can ask them anything. So I went in there and I asked them a bunch of stuff about the dynamics of trades, a bunch of stuff about Garrett Crochet, a bunch of stuff about whatever it is, Corbin Burns, Red Sox philosophy, all of this. Like, you go into this, you get to catch up with some of these executives that you know, maybe some that you don't know, and you get a chance to ask them about, you know, stuff that might take weeks upon weeks to ask them. So the American League GMs, or lack of better terms, GMs, they were available on Tuesday, and now the National League GMs, they're available Wednesday, and then the whole thing's a wrap. You, of course, have Scott Boras doing his thing where everybody gathers around. He makes some funny quips and says how awesome all his clients are and, you know, what teams should be interested. It's always a good time. It's more for entertainment than really information. But as is the case with the GM meetings, there's not a lot of hardcore action, information. There's not a lot of hardcore actions in terms of trades, in terms of signings. That'll have to wait in Dallas in the winter meetings. But, and maybe not even then. But there are little things, there are little bits of news, there are little hints of what. And to come back to what I was talking to the reporters and executives about, when it comes to the GM meetings, one of the things that, you know, we've come to a consensus is that not only has it changed in terms of it being covered, but also it's changed in terms of actual stuff where you say, all right, this is going to lead to that, because the offseason is so freaking long. It's so freaking long. And we're at the beginning of November. We're just after the World Series ended. And think about how long it took everything to happen. And last year, Otani, Yamamoto, how the perception was that all those guys were holding everything up. I don't know, man. All I know is it was long. And those days of everything done being done by Christmas, by the holidays, no, those are come and gone. But still, you know, you have to go to these things. You have to put the pieces together. You have to try to figure out where guys are going to land. But the reality is it's going to be another long offseason. So dig in. I don't think anything's changed in that regard. And that's why the GM meetings, when we talk about actual really meaningful news, it's tough to find. But there's a few things. First of all, you're going to get injuries. You're going to get sort of approaches by teams. I'll give you a couple examples. Shohei Ohtani, yeah, that shoulder. Well, it turns out that he has to have surgery on it. Yeah, that's what happens. You know, nobody's going to begrudge the Dodgers for not revealing that right away, but he's going to have shoulder surgery, and it seems like that he will be ready for opening day, so that's good news for the Dodgers and Ohtani in terms of being back for opening day and getting that thing fixed. But it's also a testament. You could see that he was not right in those last couple games. Yet, I don't know if you know this, but the Dodgers won. So, speaking of injuries, Ronald Acuña Jr. and Spencer Strider not expected to be ready for opening day. That's a hit for the Dodgers. You just could get them right. However, you have to do that. It doesn't matter. Opening day is just one day, 1 week, one very, very early moment in a long, long baseball season. So you have those two things. You have Brent Rooker evidently staying with the A's, the XXX A's. Yep. So it looks like he's going to be part of their foundation going forward. Not going to be traded, according to David Forrest of the .. XXX A's. All right. So he would have been one of the ones that we were talking about in terms of trade value or trade perspective trades and maybe guys who might be traded. Garrett Crochet is certainly at the top of the list. We're going to have a podcast about that a little bit later. Chris Getz talking for a long, long time about his approach toward the Crochet situation. All right, so I've been talking. And one of the longest, most well-attended get-togethers of all the GMs or president of baseball operations was Brian Cashman of the Yankees. I mean, a long time with a lot of people around him. And so we wanted to get to the bottom of what he said and where the Yankees stood. They are the talk of the town when it comes to not only it comes to the season they had, what they did right, what they did wrong, and also the Juan Soto stuff. Will they be able to retain him? How are they going to fix him? And at the top of the list when it comes to the Yankees and all the discussion around them is the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. Why? Well, because, as you know, Joe Kelly has had some things to say. Our godfather, the owner of the LLC, the guy who helped give birth to the entire ball of wax of Baseball Isn't Boring, he has made some very, very pointed comments on the podcast about the Yankees, most recently just a couple days ago, leading to the GM meeting. So let me play what Joe said to me on the podcast. And then within that comment, you said you played the Yankees bait. So did you guys know? Was that sort of the
absolutely
thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We were saying every single game, just let them throw the ball to the infield. They can't make a play. I mean, you saw Shohei got an extra base going to third on sloppy Gleyber play. It's well known. We all knew. I mean, we're the Dodgers. We know every little detail. But, I mean, past that, it was a fun series. I mean, they almost snagged a couple wins, you know what I mean? But, I mean, if it was like NFL, I mean, sorry, if it was like the NCAA, like basketball, baseball, hockey, or football, I mean, like, it was just a mismatch from the get-go. Like, we had a playoff re-ranking. Like, they might be ranked 8th or 9th best playoff team. You know what I mean? Like, you're putting the Padres ahead of them. You're putting the Phillies ahead of them. You're putting the Mets ahead of them. You're putting the Braves ahead of them, and the Braves just got unlucky because they had to play that doubleheader. You're putting, I mean, the Guardians played like crap, but the Guardians played better baseball around. Like, it was just a complete mismatch, and it was kind of the same feeling from 2018 when we had to go play the Dodgers. Like, the Red Sox were just the way better team. So all we knew is that we just had to play regular Dodger baseball. We didn't have to play out of our butts. We didn't have to do anything crazy, and we were going to win the World Series. It's facts. Like, just look at the team. Look at the talent. Re-rank the teams, and they're ranked 8th, and they played against the number 1 seed. So, but like I said, everyone knew. We go through numerous scouting reports, videos, like, hey, look at this, is sloppy play. Like, I mean, we pay attention to every single detail. You know, we have a lot of big superstars in our clubhouse, but the superstars also care and aren't lazy and play hard. So that's the difference and the biggest separator.
Well, because everybody listens to Baseball Isn't Boring, and it is, you know, the straw that stirs a drink. Well, of course, that when Joe said that on Baseball Isn't Boring in the podcast, then people are going to talk about it, and Brian Cashman's going to be asked about it. So this is what Brian Cashman had to say when asked about Joe's comment.
Joe Kelly was saying that they talked about this beforehand, like, we know they're going to make mistakes. That's who they are. When you hear that, do you say that's just him, or do you say, well, maybe there is something to that if the Dodgers are talking about us before the series, how we're a team that's going to make mistakes?
I heard that. I also know people with the Dodgers, so I've got some internal conversations that I've got certainly feedback on. I think it's more representative of some specific players rather than the overall group. And in Joe's case, it feels like it's some reason it's a little personal, you know, the way he's out talking is like he has. So it feels like that's more personal than you know, anything else. So I can't make much more than that. But I know he's certainly talking a lot right now. And, hey, he won, they won. So, you know, I can just say what I just said.
All right. Well, there you go. Spicing things up. But this is why we love Joe. This is why we love Joe, because he says what's on his mind. That's how he felt. That's how he feels. Brian Cashman doesn't agree. Yankees fan take offense, or a lot of them. Some of them actually don't. They're like, good for you, for Joe Kelly, for saying what we are thinking. And Dodgers fans loves it. So, I don't know. Once again, it spices things up when it comes to the conversation, certainly about the New York Yankees. Well, I wanted to get to the bottom of all things Yankees, about the perception of the Yankees, not only in terms of after the World Series, not only in terms of after Brian Cashman's comments about Joe, not only in terms of after, you know, what we saw in terms of reaction when it came to how people viewed this team. This team that, congratulations, you made it to the World Series, and, you know, you had some very close games in the World Series. Not only all of that, but where do they go from here? Most notably, Juan Soto. What do you do with Juan Soto? And a guy who I always love talking to and is in the belly of the beast and has written books or book about the Yankees way, and is just so good to talk to, SNY's Andy Martino. Andy joins us to fresh off the Brian Cashman scrum. So the takes are really, really fresh. the information is timely, and as always, the podcast is entertaining. So I loved having Andy Martino on, and I just hope everybody else loves it as well. All right, everybody, subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate it. By the way, I am on a plane out of San Antonio, and I'm going to give you in the next podcast where I'm going and what we're going to be doing in the next couple days because, yep, I'm leaving the country for a few days. Yep, leaving the country. But that doesn't mean the podcasts aren't coming. In fact, we have Andy's podcast. We have a few others coming, dropping the very same day. And then Lucas Giolito is back. He's going to give us the what's what when it comes to watching Game 1. Flying to L.A. to watch Game 1. It's a 30 for 30 on Lucas Giolito watching Game 1 of the World Series. His good friend Jack Flaherty and in being the same booth as one of the hottest free agents around, Max Fried. All right, that's coming. But right now, it's Andy Martino.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right. There's no human being I'd rather be talking to right now than Andy Martino.
Wow.
Author of The Yankee Way. How's book sales been?
Book sales been pretty good, Rob. Thanks for asking. Yeah. It was a good year to write it because it was basically about their baseball operations tradition, as you know, and Cashman's long history with the franchise and even preceding him. So if they'd had a bad year, it would have been like, well, what do I want to read about this?
Yeah.
So fortunately for my marketing purposes, they went to the World Series.
You know what's baffling to me is that, and we're going to get to sort of the last few days of the fallout from them losing the World Series. Mm-hmm. But how quickly people forget what a great season it was. Like, what a really good season it was. And immediately, I don't know if I've ever seen a fan base immediately turn to the flaws of a World Series team.
In Boston, you've never seen that?
No, not really. Maybe. I mean, it's been so long, I got to be honest with you.
Well, that's fair. Yeah. I would say in New York, and I noticed this with the Mets in 15, too, it was immediately like, all right, thanks for the World Series. Are we getting Cespedes or what?
Well, I get that.
There's a
right?
little, and, but yeah, I see what you're saying. This is a little different. This was like a negative. The Yankees,
yeah,
suck.
Like you guys suck. Like what was going on?
Yeah. Well, your co-author had something to do with that.
Let's talk about this. So, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about a few different things because you are the voice that I really wanted to talk to about all things Yankees.
Appreciate that.
We ran across each other many, many times in the postseason throughout this run, but now at the end, what happens is that the Yankees lose. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. The Yankees lose, and then on the field after the game, Joe, the guy who owns the LLC for this podcast, I should disclaimer.
How about that?
But Joe says it was the curse of Fat Joe, you know.
Now that's a fair point.
Right, of course. Like Timberland's on the mound, come on. But he said it was the curse of Fat Joe. And honestly, Andy, when he's saying this, all I'm hearing is that. And then playing it back, I don't even remember that he said, and then they started playing Yankee baseball.
Yeah.
And that got a lot of play. I mean, the Fat Joe thing did too.
But then, flash forward, we have to do this sort of the recap from the parade, and Joe's in his car, all jacked up, ready to see his son play tackle football. And Joe, thoughts on the Yankees. And I think people know by now, he doubled down on, like, the Yankees basically stink in a lot of ways. And we knew we were going to win. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it was. So that was part of the fallout. But I do want to get to, we just came from the GM or the chief decision makers get together. You said Brian Cashman was asked about this.
He was asked about it. Now, I don't have the direct quote because, like you said, Rob, we literally just came from it.
Yeah.
But I'll paraphrase what he said. It was rather pointed and 60-some minutes of vanilla GM-y kind of stuff from Cashman.
Was it the highlight of the Cashman?
It may have been.
If we're going to power rank the
It
responses.
May have been.
Okay,
it may
right,
have
good,
been because right. he didn't offer us any news today. Not that there's any to be offered, really. Yeah. It's so early in the offseason. But he was asked directly about Joe Kelly's comments, and he said, look, I've talked to I have my own contacts in the Dodger organization, and I'm pretty sure that's just one player's opinion. It's something like that. He said, it's like, hey, they won, they have the right. But he was more like, it was a heavy implication that Joe was speaking for himself.
He was going rogue.
Yes, that he was going rogue. So it was, if you heard the tone and saw the look on his face, like he relished having the chance to respond.
Well, okay.
The words may not have been that pointed, but considering it was a direct response, it wasn't, nah, I'm not going to get into that. It was like, he's speaking for himself.
Well, you know, it's like at these, I remember last year, you know, Cashman had a big to-do, but there are certain things I would imagine, and you know him far, but you wrote a book about him, but there are probably certain things that he wants to talk about, right?
Yeah. That's a great point.
This would be on the list.
He was ready to go when the question was asked.
So
he was happy to respond to it. He was asked a lot about the whole fundamental baseball thing. So beyond the Joe
this
versus
is a better
Cashman
way of asking
thing,
about that.
It's a much better way of asking. And I appreciate any player, whether he's right on substance or not, and obviously Joe Kelly had a lot of good points here, however expressed them Cashman didn't like. But I appreciate the openness and how he generally is. I'm not sure that Brian appreciated in this case. But the reality behind it is, look, we were around the postseason. The Dodger scouts are on the postseason. We talked to scouts. We know that they saw what anyone with eyes saw, which is that if you look at the Yankee infield, 50% of that infield, Jazz Chisholm and Gleyber Torres weren't always on point on relay throws, weren't always ready on the pre-pitch. Two different scenarios because Chisholm's just learning third base, and there's he did a nice job for someone who's never really played the position.
Yeah.
But still, fundamentally on the infield, the Dodgers advanced scouts saw, like, there's an advantage here. And I think that might have been where Joe was coming from. Like, if you put the ball in play, good things will happen.
Yeah.
Cashman made a fair point, too, that the people responsible for that nightmare fifth inning in Game 5 were solid, fundamentally high baseball IQ players. Aaron Judge does not drop that ball a billion times out of a billion. Who knows what happened there? The Rizzo-Cole thing, two high IQ players, no one covers first. I mean, so it wasn't like, I'm being facetious in saying this, but it wasn't like the dumbasses making dumbass.
Sure.
But it was like, so he's like, look, it was one of those things. And I think Cashman made a fair point that way. The Yankees have some work to do probably to improve their personnel to be slightly more fundamentally sound. But I think Cashman is somewhat understandably defensive on this stuff too, whether it's Joe Kelly or Joel Sherman, who's pointed out, or anybody in the fan base.
Yeah, I think that was right away. I mean, that
And the reason he's defensive is like you said at the beginning, Rob, we were in the World Series. It wasn't so bad, right?
Yeah.
So those are all the kind of angles of this.
So, I get one of the first things I thought of was, okay, who in the Yankees are going to take offense to this? Actually, not one of the first things. The first thing I thought of was, how awesome is this? But it's But it was like, well, if I'm in Brian Cashman's seat, how do I feel? If I'm in Aaron Boone's seat, how I feel? And I understand the work and the process that goes into this, especially with Cashman, because, you know, this is the team that you put out there. And by the way, you made the World Series. But I will say this, as out of everything, maybe the truth lies in the middle. I don't know. But to your point, that's, I don't know if what Brian was saying was like, well, it was just Joe talking. I think when Joe said,
that's kind of what he was implying.
Yeah, but I mean, Joe, right or wrong, you know how clubhouses work.
Yeah.
It's permeates through the whole thing.
Well, yeah, I don't want to speak for Cashman, but there might have been something there of like, clearly he said he had other contacts in the Dodgers organization that didn't say quite the same things to him.
Yeah.
Whether Brian was talking about the content or the tone and delivery of the content. You know,
well,
I couldn't say.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was clear that he was well aware and wasn't particularly right. pleased. Well, I haven't asked Boone about it. I haven't seen Boone since the end of the World Series, of course. So that would be interesting to see how he would react.
Well, I hope that SNY, you know, you have a lot of good fun with it, and
it's good for
business.
This stuff is good for business. This is why I appreciate outspoken players.
This is what it's all about. But so what I do want to talk about, like from your perspective, of when you look at the Yankees, how fair is this stuff? Like, and how do you fix it? I mean, we have plenty of teams that we got to be better defensively. Well, okay. Well, some of your best players are playing where they are.
Right.
And
right.
so from your perspective, how do you, I'm going to get to Juan Soto,
sure.
but how do you fix the Yankees in terms of getting over the hump? And it seems so weird that I'm saying that, Andy, because they weren't that far from winning the World Series.
They
were like every game that they lost, they were competitive in. The only game that wasn't competitive was the game they won.
Yes. So in game one, if Alex Verdugo doesn't fall into the stands and allowing the runners to advance, mandating the walk of Mookie Betts, Nestor Cortez, you know, it's like if ABC and D don't happen, they win game one, and it's a completely different series there. So you're right. They were very close. So there isn't a whole lot to shore up in the biggest picture sense. But in terms of what we're talking about, the defense, the fundamental space running, I think that's just personnel. And I asked Cashman a little bit about this in the scrum we were just in. Like, the way I worded my question was, these are your players are adults, grown men who have already been through player development. Mm-hmm. And I know you have coaches on the major league staff, but what can you really do?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, it's more a matter of personnel and who's there, because you can work with guys. It's not like you're not going to do early work. It's not like you're not going to do PFP in spring training. But at the end of the day, you have the people that the front office brings in. Those are your people with their warts and with their strengths. And I don't think it reflects that much on a manager, coaching staff. It reflects somewhat on player development, but so many players come from outside. So it's really just, you take a look at Gleyber Torres was one of the prime offenders of some of this stuff. He's probably gone.
Yeah.
So it's just personnel to me. Juan Soto, who they brought in because the bat tool and the eye are so Hall of Fame level, but he cost them on the bases. He cost them in right field. So sometimes you know you're making these trade-offs.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's not the kind of thing that can be shored up with drills. Look at the Red Sox. Alex Cora, I would imagine we would both agree, is one of the better baseball people in terms of attention to detail.
Sure.
And awareness of what's going on in the field.
This has been driving him out for 3 years.
Right. So when the team is defending poorly or running the bases poorly, does that make him a dumbass?
No.
Or does that mean that the personnel is not quite right?
Right.
So I think it's just a matter of probably shuffling your major league roster.
So this is one of the things that we should give the Yankees credit for, is the process. And this is what you're talking about with your book and the Yankee Way and the Brian Cashman. And, you know, we get so caught up in the shock and awe signings, and there is a process to this. And I'll give you an example. I was talking to, I don't think he minds me saying this, I was talking to Dylan Lawson the other day, who was the Yankees hitting coach, and we were talking about the Yankees run, and he's like, you know, the pitching development guys, the pitching guys, the guys who are in charge of shaping these relievers, you know, the Tim Hills and these relievers, like, that was next level. Look at what they did.
Yeah.
Look at what they did to get that far, and we can focus on these other guys, but without those, like the Luke Weavers and the Hills and these other guys.
100%.
I mean, that's like the Yankees, it's the cross that the Cashman bears, I guess, but still, it's a pretty good process.
Yeah, it is a good process, and that's where exactly 12 months ago he was so angry and defensive to his people, because it was everyone's telling us every which way that we suck, but we got some, we got some pretty good people, right?
Yeah.
So this is what he's talking about. They do have a best-in-class pitching program from the Major League pitching coach, Matt Blake, on down through their coordinator and their coaches. And so, you know, Cashman wasn't acting defensive today, as we sit here at the GM meetings, on that stuff. Probably easier to be coming off a pennant for his mood. But I'm sure a part of him is thinking, as you said, they have a lot of process. They have a lot that they're very careful about, and a lot of traditions that they hold on to with player development that they're very proud of. Their pro scouting is as robust as any team. So they have a lot of things that they feel that they do well. And sometimes they do feel like, why are we focusing on the two things we do poorly? But I think Boone and Cashman also understand what they signed up for. I mean, you know, Boone had a chance to go to San Diego possibly a few years back when his deal was up with the Yankees at a certain point. And don't quote me on this, but it may have been after they lost to the Red Sox in the wild card in 21. There was an opportunity in San Diego. And I remember his whole thing with that was like, I was like, I remember saying to him at one point, like, you could go there and no one's going to second guess you this way. And you have a good team anyway, and it won't all this pressure. And he's like, yeah, but I want to be here. And so they understand that they're signing up for this.
Yeah.
It, the bad comes, the criticism comes with the good, and the glory and the criticism are all part of it. So I don't think it bothers them that much, but I think it's interesting from you, Rob, as an out-of-market perspective to say, like, well, wait a minute, why is everybody so mad?
It just struck me, like, and I get it. Like, I understand.
Yeah.
Like, this is how it works. Like you said, most of the time it's turning the page and saying, okay, off-season, here it is.
Yeah.
But it's hard to remember sometimes, sort of like that like it was a week. The postseason is so weird, Andy, because a week before everyone, or even after, a week before, it's just like, hey, this is euphoric. So, but yeah, it's just strange. So the last thing I want to ask you about is Juan Soto. We talk a lot about the market for Juan Soto, and you tell me if I'm full of hooey. I feel like the Yankees need Juan Soto. Of the teams that are in them, need Juan Soto more than any other team.
I think that's fair to say because, unfortunately, in my rogue opinion, for anyone that signs Juan Soto, you're stuck with maybe his entire 30s of not having a defender, having a historically paid one-dimensional player. Now, that one dimension is Ted Williams. So I'm not going to go too hard on this opinion. But the Yankees need him next year, if that's part of what you mean, to get back to where the standard that they set this
year. This iteration of the Yankees team. Yeah.
Now, I think there are problems there in that Soto's in right. His defense, everybody knows what it is. I don't have to say it, but if you don't, it's not pretty all the time. His base running, not great. Judge is not a great center fielder. He's an elite right fielder. Presuming Alex Verdugo, who's a free agent, is somewhere else. Then you have Jason Dominguez, who is not
a good fielder.
Not a good fielder right now. They think he's got speed and tools, but he does not take a route to the ball yet. So they bring Soto back next year. It's a really rough defensive outfield when you subtract Verdugo and have a one-year older Judge in center. It's kind of a nerdy baseball answer. Yes, they need Soto, but I think there are some underlying concerns there. But those concerns, I'm ultimately going to agree with you because those concerns would exist for the Mets in different ways. I mean, everything that Yankees fans dislike about having Stanton on the roster, I'm not saying Soto's definitely a DH like soon, but I think we're probably getting there at some point in his early
30s. Or switch position to,
I don't know if he can play first like Harper did if he's got the footwork and stuff like that. So I think the Yankees, it might be a difficult contract in the long term, but I agree with you that they absolutely need him for the next year or two or three, especially as Judge gets a little older. And so that's why. And plus just the status of being in New York, being the Yankees, the Mets are coming after Soto. If you're the Yankees from their perspective, this guy hit the home run that got you into the World Series. He could be your franchise icon next up for that kind of Monument Park stuff. If you let him go to the Mets, that's a tone changer in New York. And I don't think that's dumb narrative. I think that really is like, you can't let him go to the Mets. Like, so it's important to them in that way, too.
10 seconds, where does he go?
I think he goes back to the Yankees, but I think they're going to really have to pay because I think the Mets will be aggressive.
All right, I like that.
There you go.
Well, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Of course.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.